who thought that we were on the wrong path. Some were afraid for us, not that they disagreed with our aims and ambitions, but they were afraid. And then there were others who just didn't believe that we should be doing what we were doing. It goes way back to that debate between Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois, you know, whether you cast down your buckets where you are or whether you go ahead and challenge the system.
We have 5 seconds.
And so as I look at these young people, I think back on those days, and I think their time has come to pick up the baton and carry it forward, looking for justice and freedom and all the things that they are
Charlene
trying
Hunter
to stand
Gall,
for.
Thank you so much. Part two online at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood, or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Classical is your genre, WHFR is the place to be in the late night hours until 10 a.m. 7 days a week. From Beethoven and Mozart to Bach and Brahms, let it lull you to sleep at night and wake you up in the morning. Or for your night owls, enjoy the soothing sounds of classical music all night long. 89.3 FM or WHFR.FM on your computer. Make WHFR the station for classical.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Welcome to the new WHFR Journal. I was going to say spring is in the air, but tis not.
Tis not
in the air, but we're glad that you're here.
March is in like a lion,
oh,
isn't it?
Right? No kidding. Well, we're glad you're here today. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, and this is our hour to showcase and focus some of the attention on what's happening not only here on campus, but in our community at large. That's what the new WHFR Journal is all about, and we appreciate you being here to go through some interesting information as well. Pretty diverse show today, huh, Alan?
Indeed. We've got a lot of things to talk about. Some of the big news here in and around the Henry Ford College campus, of course, is that five finalists for the Board of Trustees has named five finalists for the next president of HFC, and we're going to talk about that. We've also got the Women's Recognition Luncheon coming up in just a few weeks. Josh Aber will be here to talk about sports, and we've got a budding culinary artist in our midst as well.
Yes,
we do. And in fact, we do want to say a special congratulations to one of our own Henry Ford College chefs who has received quite an honor recently through an Eastern Market organization, Eastern Market Foundation. The organization itself is designed to create sustainability as it comes to food. And we're excited that Henry Ford College is partnering with, and in fact, one of our own being recognized. Why don't you tell us a little more about it?
I was going to say, we'll put a name with that accolade and say that HFC chef Joseph Cosenzo has been honored as the Eastern Market Volunteer of the Year. This was announced a couple of weeks ago at the annual Vendor and Merchant Dinner, which took place at Eastern Market in Detroit. The corporation manages the operations, develop programs, builds facilities and infrastructure, and collaborates with community partners to strengthen the Eastern Market area and the food sector and improve access throughout the community to healthy, affordable food. And Cosenza says that he feels an incredibly strong affinity with that that mission. He began his professional career after graduating from Winona State University in Winona, Minnesota, with a degree in marketing, and then realized that the office life was not for him. Went to study at Le Cordon Bleu in Chicago, where he graduated at the top of his class. came to Detroit, where he was part of the opening team for Saltwater and Bourbon Steak, both restaurants at the MGM Grand Casino in Detroit, and he became the chef de cuisine at Quattro Cucina Italiana in Birmingham. And he's been with us here at HFC for the past 6 years. He started teaching full-time here in 2012.
Oh, very good. We congratulate him, certainly, and it's always nice to be able to showcase what our own faculty are doing. And in this case, one of the chefs, you know, our program, I know you know this, Alan, but for anyone listening now that has not ever been to the 5101 restaurant or has not had the chance to appreciate the culinary opportunities available here on our campus, my goodness, we suggest you do so. It's been Polish week, right?
Yes, indeed. It was, yes. The beef stroganoff was very tasty. Mm. So they're going to be closed next week during spring break, but they'll be back with, I think, see if I remember, Imperial Gastropub theme when we come back from spring break a week from now.
Sounds great. For more information, you can just, of course, go to the 5101 website. There's a link to it from the Henry Ford College website. So we have hfcc.edu, of course, or directly the 5101 has a website. It's 5101.hfcc.edu. I am looking at some beautiful chicken and asparagus on my my laptop here right now, and it's making me hungry.
And don't forget, I mean, for many of us, we think of Eastern Market when the weather turns warm. Mm-hmm. We think of Flower Day and all the fresh produce and things like that. But there are activities going on at the market pretty much year round. And of course, this event took place in January. And as you know, Volunteer of the Year, he actually provided food for the vendor and merchant dinner, which is where he received the award, and teaches cooking classes on Saturdays at the market as well. So, of course, Eastern Market is busy pretty much year-round.
Yeah, so. And sounds like a very well-deserved award, so congratulations. Well, we do have so much to talk about as it relates to the upcoming presidential search as it continues. The next phase is the main interview phase for the five candidates that are still in the running for this position, and we have some little bit of insight related to how the whole process works, too. This is a big deal. It's not only a big deal for our campus community, but for the community at large, as Henry Ford College is one of the staples in the Dearborn community, of course, even bigger, believe it or not, than U of M Dearborn, our partners next door. So maybe we take a quick break and then get into some more ins and outs of what's going to be happening. And we should also mention it's not too late to get directly connected, as we will be talking about the specific schedule. But literally as of next, Wednesday the 14th, moving on into the 22nd, mm-hmm. we're going to have an opportunity for you to come on down and actually be a part of the question and answer phase for these potential candidates.
More details to come on that here on the new WHFR Journal here at 89.3, the station that's making waves.
Let your creativity shine while learning the various facets of the baking and pastry field. With Henry Ford College's Certificate in Baking and Pastry, students will explore international cuisine and the art of garde-manger by preparing decorative food displays. For more information, please contact the Student and Culinary Arts Center by calling 313-845-1572 or visit them on the web at hfcc.edu/programs.
Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal here at WHFR 89.3, WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. We're kind of starting to thaw out here on this Friday afternoon, but we had, almost 60 degrees earlier in the week, and then winter decided, not yet.
Literally, I had my windows open on Tuesday evening just to get some fresh air into the house, and I hope I remembered to close them.
I hope
we'd be
so
in some
too.
Trouble there. Yeah, but no, it's fickle Michigan, and I think the snow was beautiful yesterday, and so that's that. We just want people to be safe, of course.
Well, I know on the new WHFR Journal, we usually spend a lot of time talking about things going on in the community as a community resource. Having this radio station and being able to talk about things that are going on is important to our mission. But we also want to talk a little bit about something that's pretty important to, how many thousands of students that attend this institution, and us employees and people in the community as well. And that is the next president of Henry Ford College.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think people interpret the role of the president in a number of different ways.
Sure.
So I suppose maybe starting there, some people see the president's role in some ways is sort of more of a figurehead as he or she goes into the community and represents Henry Ford College at different organization events, different committees and things like that. A lot of it related to service clubs and things. But we are a business, and the business needs to be run in theory, or at least sort of managed through the Board of Trustees, but with someone that is the liaison between the board, who, as you know, the Board of Trustees for the college is one and the same as the Dearborn Public Schools School Board, and the connection to Henry Ford or the collegiate side of things. So it's more than just a person standing and shaking hands at graduation ceremonies. It really needs to be a very hands-on approach, whoever is going to be taking this position.
Before we do that, let's be clear as well, because we should mention, and we often do on this program, the Board of Trustees of Henry Ford College own the license for WHFR.
That's right.
But the views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal and a lot of the programming are those of the producers and the people who are speaking. It's not like we look at ourselves as, you know, paid mouthpieces for the Board of Trustees when we talk about things like the candidates for the new president and stuff like that. We're just providing information to the community and trying to do it as we would, and as we teach, we walk the walk, we talk the talk, as objectively as possible, talking about the candidates that we've got that are in the running, in the mix, for being our next president. And obviously we'll get the nod of approval from that Board of Trustees.
Very well put,
and
most appropriate, certainly. We know that we have vice presidents in place in things like student affairs, academic affairs, financial services, and so many other areas. And those are really the day-to-day, you know, direct connection with faculty, with staff, with students. But the president is, it's a pretty important job in that he or she is going to represent us, you, me, each and every one of us on this campus. We want to be represented in the best way possible.
Absolutely. So here's where we stand here at the beginning of March.
Mm-hmm.
We've got five finalists for the presidency of the college.
Five names finally together, I guess that's what I'm saying.
And there's been an incredible amount of transparency, you know, everywhere through the process and things like that. In fact, I think there's like an entire webpage. It's hfcc.edu/presidential-search, so a hyphen between presidential and search, which basically gives you a lot of information about the process we've gone through so far and what's going to happen, you know, in the next phase of this. So with all of that said, why don't we mention some names and credentials, and then we'll get down to the brass tacks of the next steps and where we go from there.
Yeah, sounds great. So we have an alphabetical listing, so these are in no particular order,
mm-hmm.
But we can talk about each candidate and exactly when we might be seeing them here on our college campus, so people can get together and really ask your pertinent questions. This is open to everybody. So we'll start in alphabetical order with Mr. Russell Cavalhuna, and he is the Executive Director of Western Michigan University College of Aviation in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
An incredibly highly respected aviation mm-hmm. college as well. I know that that's one of their strong suits.
Sure.
As an organization.
So tell us a little bit about Mr. Cavalhuna. The one thing that I notice is there's not a doctor in front of his name. It's a mister, but there you go. He's still serving in an academic capacity.
Correct.
As executive director at Western. So,
well, I was going to say, sort of looking back over his resume here, described as a proven leader in building education programs to meet employer demands, expertise in establishing and maturing external partnerships for mutual benefit, and a former airline captain and federal prosecutor with a record of measurable results in higher education through collaborative shared governance. He's been executive director, which, according to his resume, says duties akin to an associate dean role at the College of Aviation at Western Michigan since 2015. It is the nation's third largest collegiate aviation program. That's kind of what I was referring to. I knew that it was one of the biggies, and it operates locations at Michigan and in Florida as well.
Yeah, I know that. Just to clarify, it is in the requirement sheet for the job of president of Henry Ford College, it is PhD preferred. Or EDD preferred, so you don't have to have a doctorate, as that, you know, as we've just stated, to potentially apply for this position. So there you go.
Other things that Mr. Cavalhuna has been involved in. Also, commissioner for the Michigan Aeronautics Commissioner, former two-time chairman, going back for at this point 9 years. Before his work at Western Michigan University, which continues, you know, at present, he was assistant United States attorney, United States Department of Justice, based out of Grand Rapids, federal prosecutor, essentially, out of Grand Rapids. He was U.S. representative for legal actions in Western Michigan, including prosecuting federal criminal violations. So, doctor of jurisprudence, I would assume, then, obviously.
I would assume, yeah. Yes. And certainly he's got a lot of... what sounds like administrative integrity backing him up. So,
well, here you go. Yeah, Juris Doctor 2007 from Western Michigan Cooley Law School. Also PhD doctoral coursework in institutional leadership during crisis beginning in January of this year. So he's begun doctoral coursework at Western Michigan University, got his bachelor's from Western in aviation science in 2001, graduated cum laude.
There you go. We have four more candidates that are up for this position of president of Henry Ford College. The next one I am very familiar with. Again, I'm not here to endorse one way or another, but I do have direct connection with Dr. Michael Nealon, who is our vice president of academic affairs at Henry Ford College. Very well received on our campus. It's been a pleasure working with him in every capacity so far. I was actually a little bummed that he put his hat in the ring for president, because he's such a wonderful vice president, and I hate to lose him in that capacity. But tell us a little bit about him. He's, again, from Lansing Community College, and he's been around the state, but we've certainly enjoyed our time with him here so far.
Well, he's been our vice president of academic affairs here at HFC for about a year and a half, going back to August of 2016, and that involves obviously serving as chief academic officer responsible for academic curriculum of the institution and ensuring that it appropriately reflects the mission of the college, provides leadership to the faculty, and manages the processes through which teaching is conducted and administered. He administers, supervises, and develops and evaluates academic training, teaching, and learning support functions of the college, including the School of Liberal Arts, the School of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, so STEM, School of Health and Human Services, Business School, Entrepreneurship and Professional Development, Workforce and Professional Development, the library, and IT, instructional technology as well. He also was vice president of instruction at Washtenaw Community College, so obviously not too far from here, from August 2015 to 2016, and associate vice president of engaged student learning in 2015 as well, and dean of the arts and sciences division at the same college, I'm assuming, Lansing Community College, from 2009 to 2014 as well, and other things, obviously, as well. Sounds like he's got a little bit of a music background as well, right?
Yes, he is actually a musicologist, a performer, a singer. He grew up singing and is... I think just a very well-rounded person when it comes to Henry Ford College. That's what we loved about him coming in as vice president, in that he appreciated the arts, and that's not always, you don't always get that connection between someone that's leading an institution and someone that sees every facet. It's not just the academic side, but it's the artistic and fine arts side, if you will. So,
and obviously you can't reach this level of academia without sitting on a few committees somewhere here at HFC. He served in the president's cabinet, the vice president's council, academic affairs leadership team, which he chaired. He was co-chair of the academic council, and in some cases is still is. Strategic planning committee, the retention advisory council, of which he's co-chair, accreditation steering committee, obviously an educational institution, accreditation is very important. IT oversight team, and the LGBTQ resource and advisory board, which is called SAFE at HFC, as well, that he served on. That's, you know, during his time here at HFC.
That's right. And he's still acting in that position, of
Correct.
Course, as vice president.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I speak present or
yeah,
past
no, no,
tense
that's okay.
on any of these.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. All yeah. right, moving forward, we have Dr. Christopher Reber, who is the president of the Community College of Beaver County in Monica, Pennsylvania. So, as I understand, this is the only out-of-state candidate that is potentially relocating, should he get the position of president of Henry Ford College. But Dr. Reber is coming again from Pennsylvania, and in Pennsylvania he has quite a background as well. Tell us a little about him.
PhD in education from the University of Pittsburgh, the Cathedral of Learning. If you've ever seen that building up there in
Stunning.
The Oakland area of Pittsburgh, it is really one of the most amazing structures in all of the United States, in my mind. Anyway, so PhD in education from Pitt, also postdoctoral certificate, Institute of Educational Management and Management Development Program certificate from Harvard in 1991. The PhD from Pitt dates back to 1987. Master's from Bowling Green here, I'd say here, but just not too far away from here in Ohio from 1981. Serving as community college at the Community College of Beaver County in Monaca, Pennsylvania for the past 3.5-4 years. It's a comprehensive, independent public community college with about 6,000 students in credit and non-credit programs. It's just northwest of Pittsburgh, so sort of on the northwest suburbs of Pittsburgh, if you've ever been to the area. It has a School of Aviation Sciences, which is nationally recognized, so that's an interesting note, with associate degree programs in air traffic control, professional piloting, unmanned aerial vehicles, which I don't know if that includes drones or not, and aerospace management as well. So that's from 2014. President there since 2014. And then before that, also at Venango College of Clarion University in Oil City, Pennsylvania. So obviously a lot of time spent in Pennsylvania, and that dated from 2002 to 2014. Executive Dean at the Venango College of Clarion University in Oil City, Pennsylvania. He also has a long list of publications and presentations. And again, all of this information available on the HFC website, and the presidential search website specifically, hfcc.edu/presidential/search. Not slash, I'm sorry, dash. So that's presidential-search, essentially.
Two more candidates to go. The female candidate that is on this list, this short list, Cassandra Ulbrich, who is Vice President of College Advancement and Community Relations at Macomb Community College in Warren, Michigan. Our friends over in Warren. And I'll tell you, I have heard Dr. Ulbrich on a commercial that runs on another AM talk radio station that I catch occasionally in the morning, and they're doing a community college corner kind of a thing, and I've heard the name Cassandra Ulbrich. I'm like, wait, I know her. She's potentially going to be our president. So it's interesting, and she sounded very well-spoken, but she's all about college advancement, community relations as of right now. That's her role presently at Macomb Community College, and I know she's certainly done even more than that, but going from the vice president level right now, aspiring to become president of a college.
Well, and she's been with Macomb Community College since 2011, so 6.5-7 years going on, or depending on when she started. As vice president of college advancement and community relations, she oversees four departments: marketing and communications, which makes sense if you've heard her on the radio somewhere, right?
That's right.
Public relations, yeah, okay, that makes sense too, which includes media relations, presidential communications, and college sponsorships. Cultural affairs, which also includes the Macomb Center for the Performing Arts and Lorenzo Cultural Center, and the Macomb County Macomb Community College Foundation, which includes alumni and retiree relations, major planned and annual giving as well. Her division consists of 42 full and 30 part-time staff with a budget of about $7.5 million. During that time, MCC Foundation was recognized by the Council for Advancement and Support of Education. It received a CASE Educational Fundraising Award, Overall Foundation Improvement. They launched the college's first comprehensive capital campaign with a goal of $10 million over 5 years. They're currently ahead of schedule of that with 101% of their goal at this point. Before Macomb Community College, she was with Wayne State University beginning in February 2001 through May 2011. And that included for about 3.5 years, Director of Corporate and Foundation Relations, promoted to develop and oversee the Office of Corporation and Foundation Relations, supervising all private CFR fundraising at Wayne State and Tech Town, which is Wayne State's business incubator, with a combined annual goal of $10 million. Other duties at Wayne State included Senior Director of Development and Team Leader, and Senior Director of Development and Team Leader in another division, also an Associate Director of Development in the College of Fine Performing and Communication Arts as well. Served as a press secretary for former House Democratic Whip David Bonnier, based out of Mount Clemens. So this was when Bonnier was in the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, from 1999 to November of 2000. So she served as press secretary there as well.
Well, very interesting. We have one more candidate, and his name is Mr. Thomas Watkins, Jr. He is the president and CEO of the Detroit Wayne County Mental Health Authority currently, which I think was highly interesting to bring somebody in to potentially run a college that has that ability to connect in some way with our mental health community, as we know, not only in recent cases, but also for a number of years. Being a college student, being on a college campus is not the easiest thing to do. And while, in fact, we have resources in place and so on, it's always interesting to get different perspective of how best to handle and support students in the long term. So as president and CEO, I'm certain that he has some good experience as it relates to what he's doing with the Wayne County Mental Health Authority.
Potentially a very dynamic fit. He describes himself as a dynamic, innovative, and results-driven professional with the ability to lead individuals and teams from diverse backgrounds to achieve collective goals, which is important at just about, damn near any organization you can think of, right?
There you go.
A proven leader able to make leaps in education, business, health, and human services through expert planning, outstanding communication, leadership, management skills, and the ability to facilitate change that will lead to progress. He's been president and CEO of the Wayne County Mental Health Authority since 2013, which is a $700 million county government mental health agency, which was a government agency and now transitioned into an independent authority, generating over $50 million in new revenue by enhancing data and financial management. Obviously, some of those sort of internal cultural changes, moving from a governmental or bureaucratic organization to an independent authority and organization, and eliminating $60 million in legacy debt and converting pension from defined benefit to defined contribution system were among the accomplishments that took place during his time as president and CEO at the Wayne County Mental Health Authority. Before that, spent time 8 years at TDW and Associates in Northville, which is was established following more than 30 years' experience in the highest levels of local, state, and national education, politics, government, and business to assist individuals and organizational entities in responding to global and multifaceted opportunities and challenges. Also spent time at Wayne State University as Special Assistant to the President for K-12 Relations. And before that, Superintendent of Public Instruction and Chair of the State Board of Education for the state of Michigan from 2001 to 2005. Obviously, that in Lansing, and then before that, President and CEO of the Economic Council of Palm Beach County in Florida from 1996 to 2001.
And we have one more. Actually, that's the last one.
That's what
one,
I was going to say. Wait a second. No, I thought that was it.
Oh, well, yeah. you know what? I do want to mention,
unless you're throwing your hat in the ring, Susan.
It's a little late for that. I will actually, this is the time to say that, you know, these are the five candidates that have moved forward through the presidential search. Now, that is not to say that the Board of Trustees cannot say, we want to bring in somebody else to consider.
Correct.
Or we've decided we're going to add a couple of other names. So that, there you go. There's the in that, yes, these are the ones that have been recommended by the official search committee through the college and the community. But in essence, not necessarily all of the official candidates.
That's not to say that they may not look at these five and say, you know what, exactly. And obviously, we wish the best of success to people who, you know, are interested in the job. But that's for somebody else to decide. They may decide that, you know what, there might be somebody else out there as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With that being said,
when do we get to meet these people?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So this the scheduling does not go in alphabetical order. So although we just did, we're going to kind of move it around a little bit. It would be easier that way, but that's okay.
Put the names in a hat. And
Probably what it is. Yeah. So they're saying the general public is welcome to attend these public forums, and there are designated times and places for them. They are either in the Barry or the Forfa Auditorium, which are both located on the first floor of our Andrew Mazzara Administrative Services and Conference Center, the ASCC
building. Here on the HFC campus, because I know that the previous forums were held off campus.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. They're bringing it back, and there will be five separate opportunities. So first of all, we have for Thomas Watkins Jr., the person we just spoke of, opportunity to hear him speak and ask your own questions will be Wednesday, March 14th from 6:30 to 7:30 in the ASCC building. Then we move over to Russell Cavalhuna, and Thursday, March 15th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. will be your opportunity to connect with him. Then Monday, the 19th of March, we move into Dr. Cassandra Albrich, and Monday, March 19th from 6 until 7 p.m. will be her time slot. Michael Nealon, Dr. Nealon, will be Wednesday, March 21st from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And then finally, for Dr. Christopher Reber, Thursday, March 22nd, 6:30 to 7:30 will be the date. So that's a window of an eight-day period for you to come in the evening and, again, not only put a face with the name and also have an opportunity to ask questions, but just kind of get the general gist of how they're sort of finessing the audience. I'm sure everybody's going to want to look and act their best, certainly. After that, the board interviews the five finalists themselves. So this round of interviews, and then one more round of interviews, and there's a whole schedule starting on Monday, March 25th. We don't want to get too far into that.
I was going to say, and for those, so this the ones we mentioned, the starting March 14th going through the 22nd,
yes,
those are public forums.
That's right.
The other ones are going to be the board interviewing them. Mm-hmm. It's open to the public to be able to attend, but
that's
not
right.
necessarily an opportunity for public input. So if public,
exactly.
if people, you know, either on campus or in the community wish to have their input, the public forums might be the appropriate venue for that.
Yeah, that's the one. And, you know, we're really not talking about everybody that has a direct connection to the college by way of I went here, or I have a student that went here or goes here or anything, or I work here. This is a community decision. You know, this is ultimately something that will impact our community. We, of course, working here, want a president that's going to represent us well and ultimately empower us to be able to support and empower our own students, which is what Henry Ford College is all about.
Well, we look forward to it, I guess we'll just, people will have their input, the boards will make their decision, and we'll find out pretty soon where
that's
we
right.
go from here. So,
and we'll keep you posted.
Right here on the new WHFR Journal, here at WHFR 89.3 FM and also WHFR.FM.
Do you ever feel like your resume is just not good enough? Then come on in and check out the Career Services Center in Building A on Henry Ford's campus. Not only are they open all year long, but they are there to assist you when it comes to resume building, work study, co-op, and much more. So check them out, Building A on Henry Ford's campus.
Welcome. This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. And Alan, I know that spring is in the air when I get the invitation here on campus to the Women's Recognition Luncheon, sponsored through Henry Ford College's Student Outreach and Support Organization. This is the preeminent March event to be a part of, I'm telling you. And as a man, you can still come. You're still invited to participate in this.
Thank you very much.
And if you haven't made your decision yet, which I just sprung this on you, get it sprung, spring. You will after we talk to our guest here. We are joined in studio with the coordinator of student outreach and support and longtime counselor here on Henry Ford College's campus, Brenda Hildreth. And it is such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you.
We know that you and your colleagues are in the trenches in counseling, always doing the best by our students, let's put it that way. And we know they come to you with some zingers. We send them to you with some zingers as faculty, of course.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But we're so glad that you have the ability to continue to keep this event, this Women's Recognition Luncheon, going, and going strong, I might add. So if you would, just maybe start with a little bit of history about the luncheon. Why did it get started? What's it for?
Sure, it was started long before I got here, probably over 45 years ago, and it was started by a woman named Jean Brazil. And she started it because for two reasons. She wanted to acknowledge the many accomplishments of women that are made, and it's one reason why we have it in March, because that is Women's History Month. And it was also the one annual fundraiser that we have for the department. And that's very important, because giving students financial assistance over and above what they receive from financial aid can make the difference in whether or not a student is able to complete their semester.
Okay. I know you must have many stories of how proceeds from this luncheon and from the SOS fund, which is where the money from the luncheon ends up going, to support our students, stories that really make a difference. I hear them at the event every year. You know, I love to attend and bring some students and so on. But that is so heartwarming. That's my favorite part of the event every year, is when you have a student or two stand up and talk about their story. It just brings it all home. Do you have anything you can share, just even some general stories of how directly this fundraising effort goes to keep our students in the classroom, which is where they need to be when they're on campus here?
Well, one of the general stories is that a lot of students who are here for the first time have no idea of how financial aid schedule runs. And so they don't, or their parents don't, really apply for financial aid until it's too late. However, they do register for their classes, and they're expected to be prepared with books. Because the financial aid isn't there and the family may not have the funds to purchase them, we set up the book loan program, which is part of the emergency fund. And we will buy all of their books for them. And when their financial aid is made available, then we are reimbursed through their financial aid. None of the money comes from the student's pocket. And if they do not receive enough financial aid money, then my office will gladly just write that off, and the student still doesn't have to pay us anything. So it's a win-win situation as far as the book loans go, because the students get their books early in the semester so that they can do very well. And we're very happy to do that.
Very nice. You talk about the emergency fund that is set aside for specific purposes like this. How long, to your knowledge, has the emergency fund been in the incarnation that it's being used for today?
I would imagine that it's probably been in effect since, 19... It's really hard for me to say, because I wasn't here when it first started.
It's been a long time.
It was up and running when I got here, yes.
Very nice. We have direct stories about potholes. Literally, they're very timely this week, and Alan knows what I'm talking about. But I've heard the story where we've had a student that has had a tire go bad on a car and has been unable to actually get to campus to attend class. and the emergency fund has actually helped support a student to actually buy a tire, something as simple as that, to keep them mobile so they can get here and do what they need to do.
Yes, that is, and tires are very common for us to pay for. But I think I'm very glad that we have the money to do that, because I think that it's important that the student know that they have reliable transportation to and from school.
Transportation is a big issue, certainly for a lot of students here at Henry Ford College and other colleges in the area. What are some of the other specific challenges that, you know, that young women, and I say young women because I think in a lot of cases we're talking of people who are late teenagers and in their early 20s, face in terms of trying to be able to, you know, further their education?
Another common request that we get is for eyeglasses. Students may break them, they may lose them, and they don't have the money to get them replaced, and it's very hard to study if you don't have a pair of glasses and you need them. So that is another request that we fulfill. Usually we can't cover the total cost, although there are some places where we can. But we can certainly pay for the eye exam or the frames or part of it to make it easier for the students to purchase them.
These are the things that we don't think about, you know, Ellen. We just kind of assume that all that's being covered by somebody for the students. But when the student is in that kind of an urgent need, oftentimes I would guess those are the students that either we stop seeing attending class or start maybe suffering with the grades a little bit, not getting their homework in, that kind of thing. And it very well could be that they just have a need that we consider such a simple need, but it's a need that the SOS emergency fund can make a difference with.
And in a lot of cases, once those needs are met, they're the students that work the hardest, my experience as an adjunct faculty member here at the college. So,
and they're truly grateful. Yes.
Yeah, very nice. We are joined with Brenda Hildreth today, and we are talking about the emergency fund that exists here at Henry Ford College through the Student Outreach and Support Organization, of which Brenda is coordinator, and she's also a counselor here on campus. That goes hand in hand, certainly. Well, this event, Friday, March 23rd, kicks off around 11 o'clock. It's a luncheon, as we know, but it's just so much more than a luncheon. Although, don't get me wrong, the food is always amazing. But tell us about what guests that purchase a ticket to the luncheon will actually find when they get here.
Well, we always have a lot of fun at the luncheon. At 11 o'clock, we will begin our raffles. One of the raffles is the tin can raffle. And we have the prizes on display all around the one end of the dining room. And so the people can pick and choose which of the prizes they would like to enter their tickets for. And the prizes vary. They can be jewelry, they can be baskets of different items with a theme, such as maybe stress management, so it may have stress balls and those types of items in the big basket. And in addition to the raffle, we're going to have a program, and the program will feature again Miss Jacqueline Lawson. People have already started asking me, is she going to be there and is she going to interview again? And she will. She will be interviewing a panel of three students this time. Oh, so nice. That should be pretty interesting. And of course, there's the food. We will have our traditional Michigan salad, and we have some other goodies in store also. I don't want to give everything away.
What I love about the food, and every time we get to enjoy the benefits of our culinary arts students, it's just an amazing thing. So this is an opportunity to enjoy a full luncheon that is catered by our culinary arts program.
It really is, and I really am happy that we have the opportunity to show off that program because they do such an excellent job with the serving as well as preparing the food. And I always try to get a picture of them as a group each year.
Yeah, they do a wonderful job.
That's become a tradition.
tickets available now, I know.
They are.
We hope they'll sell out. That would be a wonderful thing. But it seems like you're always able to make room for one more last-minute person that is able to squeeze in. But we appreciate that. In addition to separate one-person tickets, you're doing table sales and corporate sponsorships and so on?
Yes. Tickets for a table can be purchased, and we do have opportunities available to companies or businesses that may want to become sponsors of the luncheon. And all of that can be taken care of by going to our website that has been set up by the foundation. So we're hoping that everyone will take advantage of that and purchase their tickets. And by the way, the tickets are just $35. They haven't changed in price.
The best deal in town, I'll tell you that. That's wonderful. If we want to make additional contributions to the SOS fund, whether we're able to attend the luncheon or not, you accept them ongoing, yes?
Yes, ongoing, and there is a leaflet in our booklet that will tell our guests exactly how to do that, or again, you can go to the website.
Will there be a theme at this year's event? I know oftentimes there's a color scheme theme or a different mindset theme. That's fun.
This year we decided not to really do a theme, but our colors are pastel pink and cream. That's something else people have started asking for.
Sure.
And the scarves that the committee will be wearing have become very popular. So we've decided to purchase extra scarves for all of those who would like to wear one of our scarves.
Oh, very nice.
And we're hoping, well, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yes. You've got some surprises you're not ready to share, huh? Whoa,
right.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Another reason to attend. If you're interested in participating again, registration is available right now. You can get your tickets. You can secure them. And again, I love seeing students attend. And I know they often are sponsored by faculty members or heads of departments and things. And I just think that's
really encouraging.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's just a wonderful way to see it. And I know there's some ladies that bring their sisters or their aunts or whatever just to be a part of this event. How many can we hold? How many can we seat here in the Student Center in the pavilion, which is where it takes place?
I know that we've had 200 guests there before. I don't know if that's the limit. The tables were pushed in pretty close, so I don't know if we want to go above that number.
Okay. Well, we'll shoot for that. Shoot.
Sometimes they set out tables out there in the lobby out in front
true.
Of the restaurant, too.
So, really excited and happy if that need came. Yes.
It is a very lengthy website title, by the way, but I know that it's up at hfcc.edu in the upcoming events, March 23rd. If you go to the calendar, it has all the information on being able to purchase tickets and get yourself signed up and registered for it.
Yes, it is on the first page.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Alan, for checking that. Mm-hmm. If we want to learn more about ways that students benefit through the SOS, through the Emergency Fund, or we have ideas or suggestions or maybe a rich uncle or something who wants to really make a connection in some very positive way. Do you take grant sponsorship money just directly to the program, to the emergency fund?
Yes, anyone can make a donation, and it's set up so that can be done year-round.
Okay. Do we do that through the foundation office then, I'm guessing?
You would go through the foundation office, just make it clear that the money should be directed to the emergency fund in student outreach and support, and they'll make sure that we receive it.
Perfect. I hate to put you on the spot with this question, Brenda, but I am very curious. Do we always have more student need than we have money, or are we in a position where we're able to help as students do make those requests or need that support?
Because with the book funds, book loans, and that's a large part of it, we receive a lot of that money back, then we're able to meet the needs of the student. We want to continue to be in that position, though, so that's why fundraisers like this is so important.
Got it. All right.
Now, I have to ask a question. It's a women's recognition luncheon, so that assumes that you're going to be recognizing some women with some connection to the campus or community.
Yes.
We don't know who they are at this point necessarily, right?
Right.
What are some of the qualities that you're looking for in terms of, you know, the women that are going to be recognized in an event like this? And I just want to, you know, obviously, you know, elevate them and what it is that they contribute to our campus community.
There are two categories of awards, and one is the Jean Brazil Award, and it's been awarded since 2004. And we were looking to award women who work tirelessly in the community to better the lives of others, and people who have supported the work of Henry Ford College. And they should also be an excellent role model for women in general. So those are some of the qualities that we're looking for.
Is this a process where people nominate people to be considered for this recognition? Or?
Yes. And I want to correct myself. For the Jean Brazil Award, they don't necessarily have to be in or have shown support of the college. They may not have had that opportunity in the past, but that is necessary for the second category, which is the Women's Recognition Award. And we're giving three of those away this year. One will be to a representative of the administration, one to a representative of faculty, and a second will be given to a representative of the staff, supportive staff. For them, we expect them to be an employee of the college. They should be very involved in the community, as well as professional or student organizations, and they should be actively working to improve the lives of the women on campus, or women in general.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. That's a lot of recognition, but darn it, that's what this is all about, isn't it?
Yes.
Very nice. Men, I have seen men attend this event.
And
yes.
We welcome them,
yes.
We're allowed, we can be there, right? Yeah.
I knew that was the next question, so yes, you are absolutely allowed and absolutely welcome. But it really does tend to be kind of a girl's afternoon, as we know, but that's okay.
And this may be a good place for me to interject that even though we're recognizing women at the luncheon, the money itself, the emergency fund, is used for both males and female students. So that's very important.
Yep, good clarification. Thank you. Well, we are grateful that you are committed to this cause and continuing to keep the opportunity for donations going, because we know that it's directly helping our students on campus, and that's why we're all here, really, ultimately. So thank you, Brenda, for your time today.
Thank you for the invitation to be here.
The date and time of the event once again?
Again, it's going to be March 23rd.
Three weeks from today.
Yes, and the event will start at 11 o'clock. We hope to be through by 1:30.
And more information available. Last I checked, it was right up there on the hfcc.edu website in the list of events there, upcoming events on the right-hand side of the screen.
Yes.
There is, like I said, a very lengthy URL to register and be a part of it, but that just go to hfcc.edu and you'll be able to find it.
Yes, much easier.
Sounds like a plan. We will see you on March 23rd.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks so much. We've got more on the way. Stay with us.
Start your exciting career as a surgical technologist now. Henry Ford College has a two-year program with a 98% employment rate. Job offers are up by 24% all over the United States. You'll graduate with an associate degree and hands-on surgical experience. Prepare for fall 2018 enrollment and call a health career advisor today at 313-317-6845.
It's the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Thank you so much for being with us. What a tremendous opportunity to talk to Brenda Hildreth about Women's Recognition Lunch, which comes up again on Friday, the 23rd of March, so 3 weeks from today. Joining us right now is Josh Hebert to talk sports and things that are going on in the sports world here at HFC and also in the community. How are you doing today, Josh?
I'm good. How about you, Alan?
Excellent. Well, last time we wrapped up our talk, looking forward to high school, the end of the high school season, and getting ready for playoff matchups in basketball in particular, and just curious if we have any updates on that.
Yeah, the high school brackets have came out. All of these games start next week on Monday night. Let's first dive into the Dearborn schools, where we have Dearborn Heights Annapolis playing Dearborn Heights Robichaud in the first round next Monday at 7 p.m. at Divine Child.
So Divine Child is hosting that district?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And they will play, and then the winner of that game will move on to play Ann Arbor Father Gabriel Richard.
Okay.
And on the other side of the pool, it's Divine Child versus Dearborn Henry Ford Academy for that one.
Okay, and I know DC had made it to the final of the Catholic High School League, I'm trying to think. Didn't fare so well in that one.
They fell short of that goal, but we'll look forward to moving on.
And we're talking boys basketball here as well, because obviously there's also all sorts of other brackets on the girls' side, which we probably need to take some time to talk about. Yeah,
that started this past week, where I know for a fact Alan Puck is moving on to the final in their bracket.
Okay, very good.
And then we have, of course, the regular Dearborn schools, starting with Fordson, who is hosting their bracket. And they'll play the winner of Livonia Stevenson and Livonia Franklin. And Fordson will start that at 7 p.m. next Wednesday on the 7th.
And where are those games going to
take place? Those are going to be held at Fordson.
Okay, they are at Fordson. Okay, very good.
And then wrapping up high school, we have Dearborn Heights Crestwood playing Dearborn next Monday, 5 p.m. Those games are held at Wayne Memorial High School.
And then, if you don't mind me asking, how many divisions are there in the state basketball tournament? In football there's eight, but in a lot of sports like soccer or hockey, there's four or maybe even less.
Yeah.
Right?
In high school basketball, you have four different classes, starting with Class A, moving your way down
to Class D.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes by size of school, basically.
And Crestwood and Dearborn are both in Class A. Another bracket in Class A includes Edsel Ford, who is taking on Kennedy, who they are actually replacing in the Downriver League next season.
Because Kennedy, this is Taylor Kennedy, which won't exist next year, right?
Yeah, they're closing in, combining with Taylor Truman to combine to make Taylor High School. They're going to be called the Griffins next year.
So they're not carrying over any of the names or anything like that.
And the winner of Edsel Ford and Kennedy will move on to play Alan Puck on Wednesday. Edsel Ford takes on Kennedy at 5 p.m. at Lincoln Park High School.
All right, so what's going on here on the HFC campus? I know spring break next week, right?
Yes.
It's going to be kind of quiet around here, or we're all going to be getting our suntan on and everything like that, right? Isn't that what spring break is?
I wish, but for the basketball team, they don't get that luxury. They play tomorrow, 3 p.m., in Indiana against Ancilla College, who won the MCCAA Western Conference. Henry Ford won the Eastern Conference for the first time since the 2008-2009 season, which is exciting. That game is at 3 p.m. Tomorrow. And then you have the District 10 tournament. Henry Ford has a first-round bye, and they'll play on Thursday at 7 p.m. in Port Huron against the winner of the 4-5 seed. And the winner of that game advances to the championship, which will be held next Saturday at 3 p.m. And the winner of that will move on to the NJCAA Basketball National Championship round, held in Danville, Illinois, from March 20th through the 24th.
I've been to Danville, right on the Indiana border there. I think on I-74 as you head out from Indianapolis to Champaign. So they're going to be some busy boys, right?
Yeah, they're going to be busy this next week. And then roller hockey.
Yes.
Phenomenal story here at Henry Ford. First year as a club sport, has a low turn rate for them. They finished runners-up in the conference for the season, and the conference tournament is held this weekend out at Joe Dumas Fieldhouse in Utica.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can announce this. This is coming from Miss Taylor, the AD over here, that they have already secured a spot in the national championships, which are in Fargo, North Dakota, and those take place April 13th through the 15th. So congrats to them. Good luck to the Hawks basketball team this weekend and next week as they start their playoff run.
And for all these teams, we wish them safe travels and lots of time to do some homework on the bus to Fargo and, and to Danville, I'd imagine. So they should do well in their classes as well.
Fargo, that's still going to be a little bit cold in
April. So, you know, Josh, thanks so much. And obviously keep us up to date on how these teams are doing. We look forward next year when we're going to add women's basketball into
women's
the mix as well.
Going to be back.
We'll have another sport to talk about.
And I am also going to be remiss to say, but baseball starts this weekend.
They're going to be somewhere warm, right?
Yeah, they're traveling down to Florida to start for spring break. So good luck to the Hawks baseball team, and softball will start this weekend too.
And indeed, yeah, safe travels and good luck in your tournaments, ladies and gentlemen. So this is the new WHFR Journal. Josh, thanks so much for being with us. Have a great spring break.
Thank you, you too, Alan.
We will not be here next week. We'll have something else special up our sleeve for our spring break edition of the new WHFR Journal. But Susan McGraw and I will be back the week after that to give you more information about things going on here in Dearborn Heights and the WHFR community. Until then, have a great weekend, and we'll see you again next time on the new WHFR Journal.
A very important key in keeping a healthy lifestyle is fitness. Why not condition yourself as well as your mind here at Henry Ford College? The health and physical education curriculum offers both a two-year associate's in applied science as well as a certificate program, both offering a wide variety of courses including exercise physiology, nutrition, and physical conditioning. For more information, you can call 313-845-6318 or on the web at hfcc.edu/programs.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Time.